Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at issuesetc.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. We have been talking about grief and the grieving here on Issues Etc. We talked about the true comfort that there is for those who face the death of a loved one, a family member. This grief can be profound. It can drive those who are sorrowing in this way to some false comforts, some false ideas, some false teachings that are not only just false and hollow, they are spiritually dangerous. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about some of those false comforts in our conversation on comfort for the grieving with Dr. Christian Kincaid. He's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. Dr. Kincaid, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great joy to be with you.
You write about the funeral industry. Talk about how it has changed and how it has indeed become far more secular.
Well, Todd, you look at our society and you see this increased secularization of our society. So for so many, and this is so very sad, God's house doesn't mean anything. It's heartbreaking because fewer and fewer people are going to church. So it follows in step that the funeral industry will become more and more secularized. So for so many, Christ is irrelevant as they live and as they die. So you see so-called services in the funeral industry that take place in the funeral home, not God's house. The officiant is a family member. This is becoming more and more prevalent, and there's no pastor there. And when the funeral industry and service become secularized, this is what Satan loves, because there's no Christ. So if that vacuum will be filled, and without Christ, what is there? People hear how wonderful the person was. The dead are embellished, but the living Savior is not proclaimed. So this is very alarming to me, that in life and in death, Christ means nothing. So these are sacred things that should be guarded and not secularized.
What is an embellishment funeral?
An embellishment funeral is where we hear of the dead, the deceased. This one will be the best father or husband or mother or friend. That's what we hear. And we know these things aren't true, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, this is what the devil wants us to hear, that into our ears we hear these platitudes of the dead, again, instead of hearing of the living Savior. And we have to remember that the funeral service is for the living to hear the truth of Christ, the only Savior, that He is a victor over sin, death, and the grave. I've thought about that a lot. And to sit in the pew and to hear, like, oh, my father was the best father, or my mother was the best mother, those things simply are not true. So an embellishment funeral is an untruth. And I like looking at Dr. Fritz when he wrote those years ago, that too often the church digs its own grave with the funeral service, because it's not about Christ for the living. So we have to guard against these things.
Does that mean, when dealing with the grieving, that the pastor, the officiant there at the funeral, has nothing to say of the faith and the life of the one who has gone on to be with Christ?
No. That can be mentioned, but that is God's gift, the gift of faith. So we don't ever omit Christ and what he has done. But I think of the many years I've served this congregation, God's dear people, wonderful things involved in the church. Can that be mentioned? It can be, but it can't be the only thing at the expense of the only thing that matters, and that's Christ.
Let's talk about how the devil wants to use death and the grief that follows against us. How would you describe that?
Oh, he prowls about continually, as Peter reminds us, looking for souls to devour. So when times of difficulty come, and I think it's important to remember they come to all of us, but when we're down and out, and also when things are going well, the devil works hard. So when things are going well, we could think, well, who needs Christ? And when things are very difficult, particularly following death, then the devil spews his lies. Who cares about you? Why did this happen to you? Do you think God cares about you? And he kicks us when we're down. And he spews those foul and insidious lies over and over and over again. God did say he loves us. It's in his word. God did say heaven is our home. It's in his word. So those times when we're pummeled and the devil says, did God say? Those questions should drive us to the word of God and never away from the word of God. But Todd, I've been there. I'm weak, feeble, but Christ is strong. And his promises are written for us. His promises of love, care, grace, mercy, it is written and it stands written. So these things always should drive us to God's word. God did say these things, and they stand.
You warn against the false comforts of attempting to contact the dead, seeking signs, visions, near-death experiences. Let's talk about each one of those in turn. How is an attempt to contact the dead not only a false comfort, but a spiritual danger?
Boy, this is so prevalent, isn't it? Mediums, psychics, a message from beyond, all at a cost, of course. Not monetarily speaking here, there's that cost, but the cost to the soul. Because these things are not of God. The Lord says, do not do these things to be defiled by them. So we have that loving warning. So to say someone can contact the dead is an absolute lie. And those lies come from hell and they lead right back. So we have God's word of truth. So I'm going to keep going back to that word of truth, Todd, and back to that word of truth. So these are absolute lies. It's absolute false teaching. We should be comforted with Christ and his word, not a message from beyond the grave, because there isn't any. That's so very important. So you cannot contact the dead. Like the Bible says, Abraham is ignorant of us. And above all, the Lord says, do not do these things to be defiled by them. We're to be in that word of God. So important. So this is not of God.
Someone says, well, maybe we shouldn't contact them, but perhaps they can contact us. Maybe not directly, but they can send a sign or something like that. And I have heard, and I know you have as a pastor, so often well-meaning Christians, when something happens after the death of a loved one, saying, oh, it's a sign from them. They see a bird, particularly beautiful bird, sitting back on the feeder that won't leave, and they say, I think my dear husband is sending me a sign. How would you respond pastorally to that?
I would respond lovingly, and I would be teaching them patiently, pointing again to what the Lord has said in His Word. No, the dead do not send signs to us. Upon death, the soul of the believer by grace is in heaven. People don't watch over us. The Lord does. There are all these types of signs we hear about. Dreams. Like you said, Todd, a cardinal, a particularly prized sign landing on your lawn. A butterfly floating through the air. All kinds of these things. Lights going on and off. These are simple, ordinary, daily events. A butterfly flies through the air. A bird sings, or a cardinal lands on your lawn. What does that mean? It means a cardinal landed on your lawn, or a butterfly flies through the air. They don't mean anything, and we can't be misguided by these things. So we have to listen to people, love them enough to speak the truth to them wisely, patiently, kindly, but always pointing them to that which is certain, and that's Christ and His love for us. So there are no signs.
I have heard tell, I have not had any direct experience with this, but sometimes grief after the death of a loved one can be so profound that people even claim to have seen their loved one. I was told this story by an older pastor years ago that when a death of one of his parishioners occurred, the wife swore she would regularly see her husband kind of slip behind the back of the barn out the kitchen window. Obviously, the grief here is so profound. What would you say to that?
Again, I would be loving, and I've experienced that as well. I always pray with that person, reminding them again that their loved one by grace is home. We do have to be pastoral, but we also need to be faithful. It's difficult because these people, like you said, the sorrow is so deep and so profound, but to point them to that which is certain. And again, if I'm redundant, I'm purposely so, and that's always to employ the Word of God, and that which is absolutely certain. And if I remember correctly, in our Lutheran confessions too, evil spirits can take the form of the dead. So we have to be very faithful in this regard, but also pastoral and loving. These dear souls need to be tended to scripturally, wisely, faithfully, and lovingly.
Finally, and this is not uncommon, not only in published works, but also kind of in anecdotal presence, and that is the near-death experience. Why is it a false comfort, and why is it, in fact, spiritually dangerous?
Oh, Todd, yeah, this, we read in Hebrews, it is appointed once for a man to die, and then the judgment. So Raymond Moody, in 1975, really started to popularize this, visions, near-death experiences. I think his work was called Life After Life, but it sold. It sold, and people bought it, kind of like hook, line, and sinker. And then we've had a plethora of these books, all kinds of them. Heaven is for real, which is an absolute untruth. It's unreal. 90 Minutes in Heaven. I've looked at all those. What's interesting to me is they contradict each other. All of them do. They're all contradictory. But there's this one common denominator, and that's that they directly contradict God's Word. So this is another ploy of Satan. All of this really is about mammon and money and earthly things. So I've had dear people in my own congregation come to me and say, this is just wonderful, like heaven is for real. But I lovingly say to them, we need to read the Word of God. And they don't realize that it directly contradicts what God has said, which tells me that in our Missouri Synod, we need to pick up our Bible, all of us, and really study it and pick up our catechism and remember the great truths therein. So this is nothing new. All these things, contacting the dead, seeking signs, visions, near-death experiences, they are very, very dangerous. And some people may be upset by what I'm saying, but we need to hear that these things are not of God. They're not of the light. They're false. They're of Satan.
We're talking about comfort for the grieving with Dr. Christian Kincaid. He's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa, and author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. Living with Grief is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can purchase online at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. When you order, be sure to request the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May. We'll talk about the false comfort, or perhaps even the complete lack of comfort, that the prosperity gospel offers those who are grieving. I've written a column for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
In sickness and in health, in these days of coronavirus panic, people are learning how difficult keeping this vow can be. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness looks at the wedding day. How does the couple plan their wedding with their pastor in a way that points to Christ, the only one by whom and through whom they can keep these impossible wedding vows? Read all about how Christ keeps his church in sickness and in health in the Lutheran Witness. Subscribe at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan; Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida; Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon; St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania; St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri; and Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about comfort and hope for the grieving. Dr. Christian Kincaid is our guest. Dr. Kincaid, let's talk a little bit about the prosperity gospel. What does it have to say about death and grieving?
if you had a stronger faith, then these things wouldn't bother you so much. If you had a stronger faith, this wouldn't have happened to you. Absolute untruth. So we don't have faith in our faith. The object of faith is never our faith, but it's Christ. So again, I can't imagine someone coming to my office and they're hurting, and I'd say to them, well, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your faith? You know, you shouldn't feel this way. If you had a stronger faith, the focus is completely wrong. In God's Word, there are so many passages about sorrow and grief and life going tough, difficult things. We have tribulation. So this false notion that, oh, I'm a Christian, everything is going to go my way, I'll have money and I won't get sick, it's untrue. And Todd, we keep saying that word, but it needs to be said, these things are simply not true. It's dangerous.
Let's talk about some bigger false comforts that are often offered in the face of death and grief. One of them is universalism. How is that a false and even cruel teaching?
Well, I appreciate your point that it's cruel, because it absolutely is. False teaching is cruel because it binds people in lies. And that false teaching, again, comes from hell and leads right back there. Universalism, an absolute lie that no matter what one believes, they'll be in heaven. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Universalism makes Jesus irrelevant, doesn't matter, when he's the only thing that matters. It's cruel because it leads people to hell, very prevalent in all these false religions too. It doesn't matter, everyone will be saved. No, Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, our dear Lord says. So again, Jesus is the only Savior, not one of many, the only one. So cruel indeed is false teaching.
What is annihilationism, and why is it also a false comfort?
This is the untruth that upon death, there's no more existence. So, Todd, if I only have here and now, then I guess I'm going to live any way I want to. And I guess it really doesn't matter what I believe. It lends itself to all these isms. So annihilation really lends itself to hedonism, that I can do whatever I want to. So there's no repentance in my life when we're to live lives of daily repentance. And I think it lends itself to like egoism too, like what I want to do with my life is most important. It leads to like materialism. I'm just going to focus on what I have and what I want to do. It's really a heartbreaking false teaching.
Some think that reincarnation offers hope in the face of death, and it's really a very popular teaching, at least maybe not formally in the United States, but in the Western world, there are an awful lot of people who dabble with that idea. How do you respond?
Oh, my. This is becoming increasingly, use the word popular, in our United States, in our day and age. So this is the notion that, boy, that bad karma, I have to get rid of this. And by golly, it's going to take me a while. So I may come back in my next life as a lower life form, maybe a higher life. It's hopelessness, Todd. Absolutely hopelessness. And it lends itself to all these other things like past life regression therapy, like hypnosis. Who were you in your past life? Oh my, it's heartbreakingly sad. Absolutely false. And now there's even like your future life regression. So when I die, my spiritual guide can tell me, well, this is who you're going to be in your next life. Reincarnation, horrific. And I think I wrote about this what matters is the incarnation of Christ, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So in our discussion today, there's a real spiritual battle going on here, Todd, with truth and lies, with heaven and hell in so many, many ways. So I want your listeners please to be aware of these great dangers.
Finally then, if you would talk about grief as a direct result of our fall into sin, and then how Christ is the only remedy, not only for death, but also for the grief that follows.
I appreciate that question so very much. I go back to the Garden of Eden, when the Lord said, "You shall not eat of it," to our first parents, Adam and Eve, lest you die. Lest you die. So our parents, Adam and Eve, listened to the tempter and not their creator. They listened to the one who hated them, Satan, rather than their heavenly father who loved them. And we talked the other day about spiritual death. There it is. Physical death. There it is. We're powerless against that. So sin brings forth death. We're all terminal, no doubt about it, because we're all poor, miserable sinners. No one is righteous, not even one. What we could never do in any way, the Lord has done in full. Christ's incarnation, indeed, the second person of the Trinity, came into our flesh in our time for our sake to go to the accursed tree. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we are the righteousness of God. God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's Jesus, our dear Lord, who's done everything for us and for our salvation. Think of two words that change everything. It's Jesus lives. He has risen bodily, triumphantly. He has vanquished sin, death, and hell. Todd, Jesus lives and our sins are forgiven. He lives and there's no condemnation for those in Christ. He lives and by grace, heaven is our home. When we die, our soul will be with his presence. He lives and the grave is temporary because our bodies will rise again too. I remember our discussion the other day. One point in time, I thought Jesus turned his back on me because of all these difficulties. But as faithful Pastor Roschke reminded me, Jesus gave his back for you. He gave his beard to those who plucked it out. He gave his cheeks, his face to those who spat upon it and slapped it. Here's the point. We have Christ, and he loves each one of us dearly and deeply, all the way to the cross and the empty tomb. So I wrote this book, Todd. I hope it's a comfort to people. If one person is comforted, one, then my prayer has been answered. We have Christ, and he's good, not now and then, but he's good always. And grief, it does come and go, but there's never a time that we do not have Christ. He is with us always, and he loves us dearly, richly, fully, moment by moment by moment.
Dr. Christian Kincaid is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dubuque, Iowa. He's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. Dr. Kincaid, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
Joy Pullman of The Federalist is with us on the other side. We're going to talk with her about a new survey on the priorities of young Americans. Stay tuned. Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number,
1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at IssuesETC.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.